welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
This is Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast, and I am absolutely thrilled to have our guest here today. It's been a long time trying to get this interview to come together, so I am going to let her introduce herself to you and tell us all about where she works.
Hi, everyone. My name is Christina Orban-LaSalle, and I have a very unusual job, a job that I love. I am the Director of Visitor Services at Sleepy Hollow Cemetery in Sleepy Hollow, New York. It's a wonderful place, although no one ever grows up thinking they want to work in a cemetery when they're big. But this is a place where I really feel so at home, and it's such a peaceful, beautiful place because it was founded back in 1849 as part of the garden or rural cemetery movement. So the cemetery literally was designed to be as much for the living as it was meant to be for the dead. So families would come on Sundays, visit their loved ones, take the air, all sorts of, nice togetherness. And of course, remembering the dead. So that's what we do here. We try to keep the memories of all the wonderful people who are buried here alive. And of course, there are some very interesting people buried here, like Washington Irving, who of course wrote The Legend of Sleepy Hollow and put us on the map.
Sleepy Hollow Cemetery is one of the most beautiful places I have ever been. I think that if more people visited, maybe more people would want to work in a cemetery because there is so much about it, historical, architectural, that is inspiring. And I know it's kind of interesting to say that about a resting place for the dead, but if you've ever visited Sleepy Hollow Cemetery or any of the cemeteries like it, you would understand what I was saying. So really quickly, you were saying that it was part of what kind of movement?
The rural or garden cemetery movement. It was part of a push to have cemeteries be on the outskirts of town as opposed to being in the center of everything. If you think, for example, of Trinity Church and its churchyard in Lower Manhattan, that's exactly what the problem was. There was overcrowding, just as our cities and towns were becoming overcrowded. So this was a movement to start putting cemeteries on the outer parts of town and really incorporate the beauty of the landscape. So as you were saying, Sleepy Hollow Cemetery is a really beautiful place because it's filled with hills. There are thousands of trees here. There's a river that runs all the way through the grounds. And so it is a very beautiful place. And many people come here and say, well, it doesn't look anything like any cemetery I've ever seen before.
That's for sure. So, of course, you mentioned one of your most famous residents of Sleepy Hollow Cemetery. And being that this is Halloween season, and I'm sure you get lots of questions about headless horsemen and the like, why don't you talk a little bit about Washington Irving and how that sort of shapes everything going forward?
Well, one thing that I think is particularly fascinating about Washington Irving and his connection to our area is that he was not originally from here. He grew up in Lower Manhattan and was basically sent up to Tarrytown during an epidemic. And it's very funny that many people are coming and discovering the cemetery now and visiting Washington Irving during a pandemic of our very own. Of course, his was not COVID-19, but yellow fever. And that's what originally brought him here. And he fell in love with the area. And in time, you know, he didn't stay here forever. He actually moved overseas and wrote some of his best loved works while living as an expat. So I do think that Irving was very nostalgic for home and for America. But he wrote The Legend of Sleepy Hollow 200 years ago. And had COVID-19 not hit, last year was set to be a big bicentennial celebration. And it is remarkable because The Legend of Sleepy Hollow has never been out of print in 200 years, which is really an incredible thing when you think about it, because there are things published much more recently that are already out of print. And so I always encourage people who have not read the story that they really should, because it wouldn't be continuously in print for 200 years if it weren't a great tale.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And, you know, I did not know that Irving had been an expat. And that's interesting. Now, Sleepy Hollow, you mentioned Tarrytown. Sleepy Hollow is not the original name of the town. I know very recently that became official.
Yes, yes. In the late 90s, there was a vote in town to change the name from North Tarrytown to Sleepy Hollow. Of course, the name was not originally North Tarrytown either. Back in the day, it was once known as Beekman Town, after the Beekman family that had significant land holdings here. So just a lesson in that nothing stays the same forever. But the village really embraced changing the name to Sleepy Hollow because Washington Irving named this very area Sleepy Hollow 200 years ago. And what's wonderful about reading the story today is that you can pick out a lot of local landmarks in town as you drive through modern day Tarrytown and Sleepy Hollow. So it's really wonderful. You can actually retrace the steps of Ichabod Crane when you come to visit, which is just a beautiful thing. And talk about stepping back in time. You're literally retracing it. But the name change was not without some controversy. Of course, even today, there's still some old timers who will shake their fist and say North Tarrytown forever. But after General Motors closed their plant here, it was really a wise decision by local administration to embrace tourism wholeheartedly. But it very much harkens back to Washington Irving's day and his name for us and this area.
So Irving himself is buried in the cemetery?
He is. He is buried in the south end of the grounds and has a beautiful plot. He's buried there with many other members of his family under a very old, hundreds of years old, black oak tree. It's a lovely spot.
It is. Absolutely. I'm remembering it right now. Actually, I should mention that, and I don't know if this is happening now, but I know in non-pandemic times, there are tours that you can do, even night tours, which is one that I had done when I had visited the cemetery.
We are doing them this year. You know, like every other nonprofit organization, last year was a very difficult one for us too. It is an important source of revenue for the long-term preservation and maintenance of these 172-year-old grounds. But we are offering tours this year, both during the day and the evening, and they focus on different areas of the cemetery because it is a large place. It's close to 90 acres. So you visit part of it during the day, and you can visit another part of it at night on the lantern tours. And it's very atmospheric because you go by the light of kerosene lanterns, which is quite fun and gives you a whole different, you know, spooky atmosphere.
So if I remember correctly, we did see Irving's grave while we were there, but were there other graves of people whose families had come up within the legend of Sleepy Hollow?
Oh, yes, there are many Van Tassel graves on the grounds. You'll see members of the Paulding family. Many, many people come to visit and are quite surprised to see familiar names from the legend. So yes, Washington Irving knew these families, and he did what many artists and authors do, where he took, you know, a name from this person or the personality of that person and crafted it and wove it into something of his own creation. But yes, he based his characters on people he knew, legends he'd heard, and created a very compelling and enduring tale.
Are there still Van Tassels in town?
Oh, most certainly. In fact, there is a very lovely one named Tara Van Tassel, who works at the local historical society that serves Tarrytown and Sleepy Hollow. And we joke that in October, she's practically rock royalty because she has been asked for her autograph, believe it or not.
I believe it. I think that was one of the most amazing things visiting the cemetery, I think, because this is sort of a place where fiction and fact meet, and in a very, I guess, earthy way, for lack of a better phrase, you hear these names, you hear Ichabod Crane, you hear Katrina Van Tassel, and you know, whether you were first introduced from the original book, the Disney movie, which was popular when I was a kid, or I know Tim Burton had a Sleepy Hollow movie. These are just names that you would imagine would not be based in anything. And then when you're there and you see these gravestones and you realize that the author of the story really connected the story, this famous ghost story, to these people, there's something really emotional about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It really is. And one thing that I like in particular is that although there are, you know, a number of things to do that are surrounding the legend or about Irving himself, because of course his home, Sunnyside, is in Tarrytown and is open for tours. And that's quite interesting to see too. It's only about 10 minutes away from the cemetery. There's so many things to explore here, but it's done in a very respectful and historical way. So I think that's key, because sometimes people really run with the more commercial aspects of it. And that's not the case in this area.
No, absolutely not. So beyond this, because we could talk about this forever, there are so many other interesting graves, final resting places in the cemetery, and I would love to come back at another time and talk to you about a lot of them, but I know that we have a small amount of time within this podcast, and I hopefully infinite time to continue to talk about this in the future. But because we're a library, I would be remiss in not mentioning that there is not just an author whose books are definitely here, but a name which is instrumental to libraries now. And I'm talking about Andrew Carnegie and his family.
Yes, yes. His is also a wonderful grave to visit. It is very much in keeping with who Andrew Carnegie was as a man, because, you know, most people associate him with the steel industry. He was a titan of industry, as they say, one of the men who literally built America. But his philanthropy was just incredible. And if you do visit the grave, you'll see there is a plaque at the entry steps coming in that lists some of the many foundations that he created, because Carnegie very firmly believed that a wealthy man who died rich would die in disgrace. So he gave away almost all of his wealth, literally 90% of his money, he gave away before he died. So he definitely didn't take it with him. And as you pointed out, he gave very generously to the creation of thousands of public libraries. across the US and even abroad, because he believed very firmly in one's ability to self-educate as he had as a young man. So really, you know, one cannot overestimate the impact that men like Carnegie or the Rockefeller's families have kind of had on us all through the philanthropy that spreads so widely. But if you come to see his grave, you will see a great difference in the marker that is there for him and his wife, Louise, compared to some of the very large private mausoleums that are in the close vicinity. So it's a very, I would say, a very good example for people that, you know, the rich are not all the same. And and you can see that quite literally by comparing their monuments. So you'll just have to come back. And
that was one thing that was really outstanding, because, and I don't want to spend too much time talking about the Rockefellers, because like I said, this could be, you know, for the future. I'd love to chat with you more in the future. But one thing that is very outstanding, and I do urge our listeners to be ready for if they visit Sleepy Hollow Cemetery, is that there are mausoleums that are like the size, it's like the size of a house, and they really are monuments. I mean, the architecture is huge, and you look inside and there's marble, and it's just beyond anything you can imagine, you know, but this is for a family. And clearly this was very well thought out when they were having this designed. And then when you go to the Carnegie family's plot, it is very much a plot. It is not a monument. It is not a house. It is very much a grave space. And that was something that I know I was not expecting when I visited.
People are often quite shocked. We do get a lot of calls in the office of people who are here and are trying to find Carnegie's resting place and can't find it. And we explain where it is, and they say, well, I've driven all around that area and I don't see it anywhere. And, you know, where is it? It's because they're expecting a very large monument to the man. And they're very surprised when they do realize that it's a very modest, but beautiful granite Celtic cross. It was actually quarried from his Scottish estate, Skibo. So quite lovely.
So is there a particular part of the cemetery that you find to be your favorite, maybe like a hidden gem?
Oh, absolutely. I do love walking in the South End in particular. When you do visit, and I encourage all of your listeners to come, you can visit the grounds daily between 8 and 4:30. The older section is pedestrian only. You'll see it's chained off to car traffic. And that's because, you know, remember when the cemetery was founded in 1849, these were old carriage roads for horses and carriages to come through. So it's not meant for today's modern car traffic. So I love walking down in that area and seeing some of the older stones and looking for the symbolism, because there's a lot of very interesting cemetery symbolism. And it is something that we work into our tours as well, because people really enjoy learning a little bit about that. It's, you know, very specific to cemeteries and to the time of that particular graveyard, if you will. So it all changes over time, of course, like everything else. But some of the old wrought iron fence work is particularly beautiful, and I just love going and looking at that. It's a peaceful place, it really is. And we see a lot of wildlife here too, from wild turkeys to foxes. I've seen a lot of bald eagles here. We're very close to the Hudson River. So occasionally you'll find parts of fish dropped in the middle of the road. So someone's lost his lunch, but it's quite special. It really is. It's a nature preserve. It's a place for the dead. It's also a level 1 arboretum. So, you know, really, I feel there's a lot to offer here to the visitors, because some come from the history, some come for the trees, but it makes for a nice visit. And you know, one always says you need to learn from the history or we're all doomed to repeat it.
Absolutely. And you know, one thing that I also wanted to ask, or I should say another thing that I wanted to ask is, it is still a working cemetery. Am I correct?
You are correct. Unfortunately, people do die every day. And so we have funerals most days of the week here. This is actually one of the reasons why we have a policy that, you know, individual visitors, meaning a person and their family, their immediate family or friends, are welcome to come and visit, but any group must be accompanied by cemetery staff, because we do have funerals here. We have families that come to visit graves of their loved ones, some even on a daily basis. And so it is important for visitors to remember that this is not, you know, like a Hollywood cemetery that's only for the rich or the famous, but it's for many local families as well. And one must always be respectful of that.
Christina, this was wonderful.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
Thank you. So we do once again hope to speak with Christina in the future, because I think that there is, as she had mentioned, a lot we can learn from the past and from the dead. And Sleepy Hollow Cemetery, once again, is about, I think, an hour and a half north of Syosset, although I do know we have listeners all over the world. So I think this would be one place to put on your map. The town is lovely. There's a nice library there.
There is. Founders of which are buried here.
Yes. And thank you so much for sharing some history with us for this time of year. And once again, we will definitely have Christina back to talk more about this. So this was Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast. And we are going to close this chapter.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.